Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the second hour of today's Power Hour. And, yeah, in fact, folks, like I said in the first hour, we have a really special treat lined up for the second hour. Dr. Catherine Horton joins us. If you're not aware of Dr. Horton's work, you need to be, absolutely need to be. Just as I said in the first hour, her website is stop007.org. Dr. Horton's curriculum vitae is absolutely amazing. She's an Oxford-educated particle physicist, folks. Systems analyst with a Master of Physics first class, doctorate in particle physics, both from the University of Oxford. She now resides in Germany, where she's talking to us live today on the show. And I go, let's just jump right in. Dr. Horton, what an amazing story and amazing work that you've done. So thanks so much for being our guest on the Power Hour today. How are you?
Hi, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to address your listeners, because it's always an honor to talk to informed people.
Well, this is we do speak to the choir a lot of the times, but I want to jump right into this, because this has been, as I told you before we went on the air, I've been a fan of yours for quite a few years, watching and you know, Dr. Fetzer and others I know personally have talked with you, and can highly recommend it. And for a number of reasons, let me just give a little bit of background on my story, okay, and then we'll jump into how we mesh with yours. Back, golly, I wrote some papers years ago, 2007, 2008, exposing what's called the voice-to-skull technology, what I think is just absolutely the outgrowth of DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the U.S. military, in conjunction with the British MI5, MI6, and the good folks in the Mossad, all together. These people have a wish to basically control the minds and thoughts of everybody to fit their mold. And that's what makes us human beings, is we all are different. We all have a thought process. We don't need to all march in lockstep with each other. We just don't do that. And so I did a number of radio shows, a lot of them, back in 2006, 2007. I got the attention, I got a phone call, Dr. Horton, if you're aware of Jesse Ventura's work. He did a show called Conspiracy Theory. Mm-hmm. Jesse Ventura, Minnesota governor, it was quite a popular show. He wanted his producer called me and asked me if I would be willing to come and discuss directed energy weaponry. In fact, if it asked me our opinion, if DEW was really real, and my thoughts of Dr. Wood and her work on 9/11, I said, well, I have done a lot of research. I don't believe DEW was employed myself at the World Trade Center. I think it was many nukes that went off in the basement. I have all the proof that I have of that. We don't need to target DEW, because there's a lot of things that they're doing that is much more dangerous than destroying bridges and skyscrapers, okay? It's about targeting individuals, TIs. And I says, and so I gave my opinion on the subject to the producer of Jesse Ventura's show, and I said, I'm really not the expert. If I were to direct you, here's personal phone numbers that you need to follow through with. Dr. Fred Bell, for one, and others. I gave him the numbers. And I said, would you be willing to go on the show and be interviewed? I says, no, I really do not want to. I don't need to. I've been whistleblowing, but I'm not an insider, okay? These are the people that know, and they want to tell the story. Now, followed through and did the taping for the show. Both Jesse Ventura's son and the producer called me and said, wow, this has scared Jesse Ventura away. I mean, nothing that he's ever done has scared him more than this topic. And in fact, they aired the show. Dr. Fred Bell was killed 48 hours later, 2 days later, he shows up dead. And it really did scare them. And that was the last show they did. The conspiracy theory went off the air. And I says, now, the last conversation I had with the director of the show, I said, now you know why I didn't want to go on and talk about it. These people play for keeps. So I'm just saying this in looking at your story, Dr. Horton, does this ring true to you, what I'm talking about here?
Oh, absolutely. Many things you said ring true. I am aware of about one presentation by Dr. Judy Wood where she's trying to say that maybe directed energy weapons were involved. And I personally, after I've seen also some evidence, I personally also tend towards the mini nuke theory, just because it's so much easier. It's a well established technology. You can actually vaporize a building exactly as it was done. So yes, I agree with that. But just as you said, directed energy weapons are just in some sense so much more dangerous than even nukes. And that's because they are much more insidious. You can wipe out an entire city at the speed of light without leaving a trace of who did it. You know, when you are trying to build a nuke, when you're transporting radioactive material, it always leaves a trace. There's ionizing radiation. In fact, sometimes, depending on how, you know, things are transported, they can even be seen by U.S. satellites. And that's actually one of the things that the U.S. is monitoring. You know, any radioactive material, suddenly certain radioactive, trace signals showing up anywhere, you know, on their satellites. So you can find out the perpetrators. But when you are talking directed energy weapons, you can build an extremely deadly weapon with which you can commit the perfect murder and kill somebody through the walls of their home. And you can do that for about $30. So that is just terrifying. And on top of that, they are very advanced weapons that don't necessarily kill you. They just maim you inside. They seed cancer or tumors and then cancer. They impair your brain function. They literally fry your brain or your inner organs. And to the doctors, it just looks like, you know, a very odd version of a known disease. They will say, oh, you've got diabetes, instead of saying, oh, well, actually, you know, the key cells have been just burnt out your body, you know, surgically or, you know, other symptoms. So in this sense, directed energy weapons are just as deadly, but much, much more insidious. You know, and it's exactly for this reason that, for example, already microwave weapons, classical microwave weapons, which are actually very simple compared to the arsenal that they have these days. Research into microwaves was classified in the 70s, certainly in Britain, according to Dr. Barry Trow, that is. And he said that was exactly because they found out just how powerful microwaves alone were. Okay, so they are incredibly powerful, very classified, and are underpinning a multi-billion industry that is completely covert. So that tells you just how prevalent they are and just how powerful they are.
Right. Okay. So I got to tell you, and I have a different radio show that I've done for 20 plus years called The Story Behind the Story, and it airs on Friday nights. Later on, but as I was talking to my producers and my key people about this upcoming interview today, I said, look, we're going to be talking about 5G and the deployment thereof of this constellation of satellites. And my producer, he said, well, he's a tech guy. I mean, he's really brilliant guys. He says, well, I wrote what you said about that, and I kind of heard what Dr. Horton had to say about it, and he says, I'm here to tell you that those satellites just don't have enough power to generate that type of microwave. They just simply don't. I says, well, look, what are you basing your opinion on? He said, well, because of the tech information coming out from basically Elon Musk's group. I says, that's misinformation. How do you know that's factual? It doesn't take much to generate enough of a 60 gigahertz frequency pencil wave to target individuals. It's not, I mean, the technology is there. I've seen the patents. So I wanted to ask you that question specifically. How do you answer people to say, well, this 5G network is really nothing but communications. All of the information given for public dissemination shows it's very harmless. It's not this at all. How do you answer that question?
Well, first of all, what people have to keep in mind is that even though 5G might have satellite communication links involved, the actual technology itself is ground-based. It's the 5G antenna distributed. So if you think about the 3 or 4G tower, they can be 500 meters, a kilometer or more apart. The 5G antennae are planned to be every 100 meters. So I don't know what that is in feet and yards, but, you know, it's very, very dense. So we're talking about an extremely dense network of emitters that are nothing like 3 and 4G. So I want to make it very clear that when I'm talking about 5G as a directed energy weapon, I don't talk about satellites. I actually mean the antennae themselves.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So and this is the difference because satellites, okay, what people have to know about satellites is that if you send any sort of electromagnetic wave through the atmosphere, or the atmosphere itself disperses waves, but also the technology that emits the beam to start with can only keep it just so collimated. So when you go kilometers and kilometers away, you end up with a spot beam that can be a mile wide, okay? At the moment, I personally am not aware of any technology, although that might be just, you know, my lack of knowledge. I'm not aware of any technology that can fire a pulse from space that causes the injuries that I found on myself, which are basically bruises the size of a coin. Okay. However, if you talk about voice to skull, for example, it is very easy to send down a spot beam of just electromagnetic waves, which are then picked up by what I personally came to the conclusion that voice to skull is being transmitted with actually ear implants. You can find the ear implants. They are little nanocrystals. There's different technology, but it always involves a little pickup antenna. So it picks up normal radioactive waves, normal radio waves, nothing fancy. But that you can do kind of like a local broadcast, and then everybody in a local community with a mile radius would actually be engulfed in these radio waves, and only those with the ear implants to pick them up could pick them up. So that is possible, okay? That is possible. But when I'm talking about directed energy weapons, I'm talking about something much more focused, much more deadly, much more, you know, clinically precise. And those things, in my view, most of the stuff that I came across seems to be, ground-based. So it's deployed in weaponized cars, in backpacks, it's weapons planted at corrupt neighbors' homes and stuff like that. And also 5G antennae that are then deployed by the city, for example. They are placed behind street signs or in street lights even. I think in the UK, Mark Steele has opened some of these new streetlights and found little, directed energy weapons in them, basically. So that is what I'm talking about. It's not necessarily satellites, but then yes, you can also weaponize satellites.
In the first hour, I talked about my work on the Navajo and Hopi reservations. Those are indigenous American Indians here, okay? One gentleman, and I haven't been able to verify this, whether it was a Photoshop picture, but I don't believe this guy had any reason to do this. He actually took pictures of a 5G satellite receiver, transmitter of some sort that was placed on a major water tower on the reservation. He took it upon himself to climb up, take pictures of it. He opened the casing up, he said, and took pictures. And there in the software, it had the words coronavirus 19 in it. So is it possible for a frequency to be placed out and even into the water itself to create symptoms of COVID-19, shortness of breath type of thing, loss of sense of smell and taste, and cause the coronaviruses to be produced in the body?
I would say, so the way you phrase the question, and my answer would be no. But just to clarify, so this is not actually a satellite as in space deployed. This is a satellite dish probably that he was talking about, mounted on a, you know, some water feature or something. Mm-hmm. So it was something ground-based. Well, no, I don't think it's possible to weaponize water like that. You can weaponize water by mixing in toxins or pathogens, okay? that for sure, right? You can do that and has been done many, many times in history before, but you can't really transmit an electromagnetic wave or something like that into water simply because electromagnetic waves travel at the speed of light. If you transmit anything into water, it's going to either be absorbed or travel through water, but it's gone in the blink of an eye. Now water can't really, you know, it doesn't have the structure to memorize or absorb properties and keep them, you know, up over long distances like that. So I don't think so. That's not possible. I think the whole corona, issue is much simpler and is basically based on lying a lot of the times and fake death numbers. And there's evidence to that respect. For example, this, chief scientist in the UK was caught on live camera admitting that the people on, who had corona as the reason of death on their death certificates were never tested for coronavirus, you know, in many cases. So what's that on the death certificate? Well, that is just plain, simple lying. It's for free. Okay. You can write anything you want on that paper and people do. Now there is really symptoms which are shortness of breath and stuff like that, which you can cause with directed energy weapons. For example, what I should say is that in my experience, all the targeted individuals I've ever come across and had a chance to, you know, look at them and measure them, every single one of them also had body implants, okay, microchips and other things. And these were radio emitting little devices in their body that they didn't know were there. I have them in my body and I can measure them reproducibly. I can measure them every day of the week and they are always in the same location. And, you know, I didn't know that I had them until I found, you know, I bought a bug detector and I found these things. So the reason why that's important is because when you have people who are targeted one way or another, either they are continuously targeted and then they know they're being targeted, so they call themselves targeted individuals, or they're targeted on and off or so covertly that they don't know that they're being targeted. In that case, people might think that they have medical symptoms. They wouldn't think of weapons or more nefarious technology that's already in their bodies. But I can tell you that shortness of breath and stuff like that can be caused by both directed energy weapons and by chip implants. And I can tell you how. So I had one instance where they did cause shortness of breath and I could feel like it was almost like a rhythmical hammering on my back. And it really felt like my muscles are locking up and it was extremely hard to breathe. It felt like I'm being literally shocked. My muscles are being shocked by a very rapid pulse that kind of locks the muscles. They can't really work like they would normally work. So that was a directed energy weapon. But they can also do the same thing with chips by just, it feels like when they do that to me, it feels like they release a current from the microchips into the muscles. And then again, the muscles can't contract for breathing like they would normally. So you can do the same thing like that for sure.
Wow. So how big are those microchips? Do you know the size of them?
The size varies depending on the decade that they were put in. So in the olden days, so what many people don't know, and I didn't know, I was a Belgian court expert who and also a chief scientist for, I think he was chief scientist for Belgium and a court expert in France. He informed me that since the 1960s and 70s, but already starting in the 1960s, pilots and agents in the field were serially implanted with microchips, okay? Serially means everybody, every one of them, okay? Now, in those days, these chips were about the size of a grain of rice, mm-hmm. okay? Which can be palpable in tissue, but if it's very deeply embedded, it might not be, okay? Now, these days, I have seen photographs of microchips that look like little platelets, and they are the size of two lines or two grooves on your fingerprint. So if people look on the tip of the finger and identify two lines, that's the size of a microchip. That is still visible, but that is just the one that has been photographed and declassified and released. So I would expect that, you know, microchips these days are much, much smaller than that. Okay. And I'm talking about microchips that would be deployed. Now, when you find a microchip in a person, the laser surgery scar that they use to put the bigger ones in is roughly, I would say, 5 millimeters. Okay. Now the device itself is much smaller than that. And occasionally when you have a microchip that's being used quite a lot, what happens is that the tissue around it calcifies. Okay. And then what you can do is the calcification itself is palpable, and it just, it feels like a pin, like the head of a pin, roughly. That is what you can feel, you know.
Wow. So what's your opinion on the, there's been a few whistleblowers coming out explaining the preparation of the nanobots, this nanotechnology that goes now into the coming vaccine. Have you had any chance to analyze that? Is that viable?
I don't have the laboratory to do that, nor the expertise to do that. I know that Dr. Hildegard Stanninger has done that. She published a book, which people can buy for $10, you know, off Amazon and other suppliers. And I really think they should, for their home library. It's called Global Brain Chip and Mesogens. And in there, she talks about the nanotechnology, has drawings, and she also has photographs of body implants that have been operated out of victims. The one problem with the book is that it doesn't have a scale. And I think that was classified by the MOD. So she was allowed to publish these pictures, but she was not allowed to put any more, you know, even the most basic technical information about, is this now 10 micrometers or 500, or is it 2 millimeters or what, you know? So it's very, very hard to tell. But nanotechnology for sure is very important and is becoming ever more important. And from that book, I know that there's things like self-assembling, self-replicating nanotechnology. When you ingest that sort of stuff, it basically assembles itself in your body.
Exactly. We'll have to jump on that a little bit more in this coming segment. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Dr. H. Fru Ott. This is Dr. Catherine Horton joining us from Germany. Don't go away. You're going to want to hear the rest of this for sure. This is the Power Hour. Please stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
You know what my mission was when I started this, when I was so excited? I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. Such an incredible product. And
wow.
I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Vitamer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
If you eat your Mana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Power Hour. I'm your guest host, Dr. A. Truott. Dr. Catherine Horton, particle physicist, joins us today from Germany. Dr. Horton, wow, this is, I think we can talk about this for another hour or two. There's so many parameters of this entire story. Listen, I'm trying to be rational here and understanding why this worldwide lockstep plandemic, okay? Dr. Judy Mikovits, whistleblower, did the whole story of what this is all about. It's clearly ramped up for a special reason. I think it's okay. It's not just a global economic reset. I think it's much more insidious than that. And again, it's just this is my take on what's happening. Okay, you've got to get the people to be driven by fear to demand a vaccine that's unique and totally, you know, got some things in it that could change the entire world, really. Because there's, as I said before the break, there is indeed now nanotechnology. We're talking nanometers that are the size of viruses, viral structures that are robotic in nature that can be actually programmed and directed by, let's call it what it is, a 5G tower can do this, can actually program and these little nanobots can start building. But what are they building? You see, what's the purpose of them being built? Now, I want to just show you what I've been also covering this in my radio shows and my investigative journalism, for what it's worth. Talking to people in this world of the day, going to what they call the day of singularity. Okay, the meshing of robotics with humans. And this is very real, folks. It's been going on for well over a decade. The technology of like Google, Raymond Kurzweil, the driving force behind this, wants to be able to integrate by 2025 and by 2030 robotics into humans to basically make us all into automatons, basically. Now, the point being, how do you do this? How do you approach the day of singularity, where you have humans and robotics combined? I submit you have to do it by means of injecting something to change your whole structure of your DNA, to make a basically a third strand of DNA, if you will, where you become robotic as well as human. Now, the question philosophically to me is, and I pose this to Mr. Kurzweil in a forum, do robots have a soul? Because, I mean, there's a mind-body-spirit connection of a human being, okay? A robot does not have a soul, does not have an energy force called spirit that leaves the body at the point of death. Humans do. You don't have to be religious to understand there's a spiritual nature to everything in the human body, okay? Now, my question was simply, if a robot does not have a soul, and a human does, when you mesh the two together, does a human being lose a soul, or does a robot gain a soul? And that was a very unpopular question. But it needs to be addressed here in this context. You just mentioned in the last segment, Dr. Horton, I want to just let you just run with this in your opinion, and your educated opinion, I must say. These nanoparticles, these nanobots that can be injected into the body, and then you've just explained something to me off the air that stunned me. There are substances now being put into our food that allows these nanobots to build something in the body that can make a huge change in who you are on the cellular level. What do you see happening with this as far as nanotechnology is concerned?
Okay, I mean, first of all, I mean, what we discussed off air might actually be helpful to the listeners to hear, because we were discussing how nanorobots certainly exist. When people ingest nanorobots through food, or maybe through, you know, spiked food and spiked drinks, the way you have to think about it is that you end up with these nanorobots entering your digestive system, entering maybe, you know, organs that are connected, kidney, liver, and stuff like that. They can maybe even, be absorbed, like food is absorbed and nutrients are absorbed and enter, you know, other parts of the body, maybe enter even the brain, depending on their size. Can they, you know, go through the blood-brain barrier and stuff like that? But then all you have is these little microbots. So they have, maybe they have, internal programming. But if they want to build any larger structures, they have to have ingredients, building materials. Now, these could be organic. So you can maybe put together organic materials. But nature has pretty much optimized that, okay? So you can't come up with something that nature hasn't come up with over millions and millions of years. But if you now start putting in, anorganic materials, you can start building structures. And the way you have to think about it is that you ingest the nanobots, or you get them injected, and then you have to ingest or get injected the building materials alongside with it, okay? And here I'm now leaving my main field of expertise, and I really would like to refer to Dr. Hildegard Stanninger, who is a so-called industrial toxicologist, and she has studied these things in great detail, okay? So, but what I do know from Dr. Hildegard Stanninger's work is that there are these self-assembling, self-replicating structures that have been found in victims' bodies. One of the typical ones are fibers. These fibers are often called Morgellons or Amorgellons, whichever way you want to put it. But either way, suddenly victims have plastic fibers grow out of their skin or even their tear ducts, so their eyes. It is a complete freak horror show, okay? But what these are is these nanobots putting together these fibers. Okay, so what you end up with typically is white, black, and kind of pinkish red fibers suddenly growing. And what's so freakish about them is that these are they have a high tensile strength, so they can be, you know, the strength of steel cables, if you like. Okay, so with that building in the body, you can do all sorts to a human person, to a human being. You know, this is not sci-fi, you know, imagined possibility. These are real life victims who had these fibers already identified. And if you go towards the end of the book that I just mentioned, Global Brain Chip and Mesogens, which you can get for $10 off Amazon. I don't have any commercial relationship to Hildegard Stanninger, but it really is an eye opener, because there you can see photographs of this stuff. What I pointed out in the break is that I was quite shocked when I looked into this. And I came across one nanoparticle in particular that seems to be pumped into everything from toothpaste to a bar soap to even cakes, okay? Cakes and biscuits that you can buy. And this is titanium dioxide. I, you know, invite your listeners to go into their bathroom and their food cupboard and pick out everything that has titanium dioxide as an ingredient, as a main ingredient labeled on the bottle. Now, there's no reason for titanium dioxide to be put into, for example, lemon cakes. Yet you can, if you go to, in the US, Costco and buy any of the lemon cakes or the big raspberry big biscuits, these are the ones I actually saw when I was in the US, you will find titanium dioxide as an ingredient, as well as in Colgate and Sensodyne toothpaste, or on Dial body wash or Vaseline, you know, hand soap. All these contain titanium dioxide, and it's a nanoparticle that can enter the body. So when you're brushing your teeth or you're using the soap, it can actually go through your skin, enter your body, and, you know, stay in your body forever. But titanium has this property that it's biocompatible, which is why a lot of, implants are made of titanium. So the body doesn't know to reject it. If you wanted to build anything, in my view, titanium dioxide would be just perfect. And it turns out it is in, you know, mysteriously in all the stuff around us. And I can't see why. And when you research it, it's a nanoparticle that has so-called genotoxicity. Genotoxicity means it's toxic to your genes, as in it damages your genes, as in it causes cancer. Okay? So why do we put it in food and toothpaste? You know? And I personally believe that is a glimpse, the tip of the iceberg of what you were talking about, you know, regarding nanoparticles.
Well, I got to tell you, in my practice as a naturopath, I have worked with people with Morgellons. It's stunning. I picked these out of, let me just tell you, some of my treatment that I've found to be very effective is, it's a high powered, magnetics. Magnetics does something to drive these out of the sores, close up, the fibers come out, and they start doing really, really well when high powered magnetics and frequencies are given to them. But, I've looked at these under my microscopes. These things are crazy weird. Like you said, in fact, I looked at one really closely, amplified it at my highest application. I could swear I could see a serial number on these nanofibers.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing a photograph. I think it was in Dr. Stanninger's book of exactly that, a little platelet with a serial number. Yeah. And you have literally nano engravings. That's not, you know, beyond anything. In fact, I know for a fact that there's a Swiss company manufacturing a powder. It looks like a powder, but it's actually microchips that they mix in with the metals that they put into Swiss watches so that they can tell a real Swiss watch apart from a fake one. And this powder is basically thousands and thousands of little microchips, you know?
My goodness, brave new world, I'm telling you. Yeah. So I ask this question, and I do my lectures and my talks on the subject. I ask people, okay, boy, are you all for 5G? And most of them have no. I say, well, I don't know that much about it. I guess it's okay. What can I do to stop it? Type of thing. And well, 5G, it's faster, right? It's so much quicker. You can download a movie in 5 seconds versus 45 seconds. So I ask the question, does it really matter if you got a 4G phone and you are a tablet and you? Do you want to wait 30 seconds to download a movie? Does it matter to go on 5? And most people say, well, good question. I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
So does a consumer demand it, or is it something that the government needs through the NSA, the system to be able to more effectively track people? That's the question I would ask. I think the government needs it. I don't think we as a consumer needs it.
Yeah, I think that's right. The industry portrays it in all the advertising. They claim it that the consumers demanded it. That has never been the case. I've never seen a protest for more bandwidth anywhere in the world. Okay. So that is nonsense. We put up with whatever we can get. We're always pleased about a bit more, but you know, nobody actually demanded it. And I don't think it's even to do with tracking. The government is already successfully tracking, most people on planet Earth. You know, You don't need 5G and these nanoparticles for that. I think they are much more advanced and down the line. So they are now going into really detailed, building detailed structures in our bodies and stuff like that. The real details of what's possible is really up to Dr. Hildegard Steininger. What I can talk about is things, for example, like the fact that in one thing I found very shocking when I visited the United States is that you have T-Mobile deploying 5G all across the United States. Now, many people don't know that, but T-Mobile is a part of Deutsche Telekom. Deutsche Telekom was the German national monopoly telecommunication provider. So telecommunication in any country is actually a military infrastructure, okay? Because for any national security or any military purposes, telecommunication is one of the most important things. So the old monopoly provider was actually a secret service / military infrastructure. Now, the German military, platform is now being spun out and deployed all across the United States. Should people worry about that? You know, the country that produced the Nazis and then the Stasi, would they be rather benign or would they be just perfectly suited to deploy the most Nazi, most vicious Stasi system the world has ever seen, right? Now, I don't think that the Germans have a monopoly on being Nazi or being Stasi or whatever you want to call them, but they certainly had already the networks, okay? And most people don't know, but after the Second World War, the Nazi networks were never, ever uprooted. If you go to the Nuremberg trials, they had, a bunch of dozens of people were tried and, supposedly executed, although, some people clearly escaped and their deaths were faked. So, but what about the thousands and millions of people who took part and profited from this? What about their networks? And in systems analysis, networks are the most powerful structure of any system because they're highly nonlinear. Once they're established, they outlive their members,
So, well, I need to stop you right there because I got to send you a paper that I put out about a decade ago, actually, where I followed the trail of Dr. Reinhard Gehlen.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Gehlen, I believe his son became under Operation Paperclip, became part director of the CIA, actually. His name is Woolsey. And I show this link of just like you said, the networks under Gehlen came intact under Operation Paperclip, and that became the basis of the NSA and the CIA networks right now. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right on point.
Well, there's a very good reason for this. I mean, people, when people hear about this, I always encourage them to just lean back in their chair and just to ponder what exactly does this piece of information mean and what exactly does it imply? So when you hear, for example, Operation Paperclip, the question is why did the US with 300 million people back then or how many they had at the time in the 40s, why did it have to import Nazis? Did they not have their own psychopaths? I mean, Germany has only 80 million people today. The US has 320 million people today. Statistically speaking, for every German scientist, the US would have three or four, right? So why would they have to import exactly those Nazis? Were they particularly good psychopaths or what was so special about them? And I think the answer that actually the implication of Operation Paperclip is that there has always been a much bigger international Nazi network. And all it did is it just transferred its members from one branch office in Germany to another branch office in the United States. Okay. And then there's another aspect to the whole Nazi line, which I think is highly relevant today. People, again, don't know, but, for example, the British royal family is originally German. Their name is Sachse Coburg Gotha. That's really German, right? Windsor was a name they took and they assumed simply because the Gotha Weapons Company was kind of, bombing parts of the UK in the First World War, and it became bad publicity. So they became, from Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, they became Windsor, okay? But they are German. They are part of the same German secret societies, and the Queen of England and the English aristocracy are heading Freemasonry, international Freemasonry. And in the United States, a third of your presidents were publicly Freemasons. So this is how the whole thing hangs together, right? All of these people are part of originally German networks. And let's not forget that the Rothschilds themselves are German, of German origin, okay?
Rothschild.
And all of this hangs together. And why is it all, you know, why does it all go back to Germany? Well, actually, it goes back to the city of London as well and back to Rome and the Vatican. But what underlies all this is not that some nation has a particular tendency to be psychopathic or brutal or sadistic. No, what it is that once networks are established, they outlive their members. So once a particularly sadistic psychopathic network is established in Germany, it will recruit members and keep recruiting members even after the original founding members have died, and that network will then spread. So its tentacles will always point back to its origin, okay? And that's what we're dealing with here. So the real question today is, what the hell to do about all this 5G, nanobots, and directed energy weapons? Because I can tell you, they are being deployed around us everywhere, in the, you know, dinkiest, most picturesque little village and little town in the US, in Germany, in the United Kingdom, even in Tokyo, okay, everywhere around the world, these systems are being deployed, okay? So what do we do? And my answer was, as I kept researching and kept despairing, and it just kept getting worse and worse, at some point, I think people have to say, okay, we can go into so much scientific detail, but at some point we have to start counteracting this. We have to grab the people who are doing this and put them in jail. We have to, you know, bring liability, massive liability, to the companies that produce the tech. Okay. And when you whittle it down, there are very few people in the world who have the necessary expertise, the necessary finances, the necessary factories that can do all this, the necessary know-how, and you will find that all of these people are part of pretty much the same network. And the good news is the NSA has been surveilling everybody, including these criminals, and absolutely every last information that we need about these people, who is doing it and what they're doing, is now in the NSA database, among others in Utah. We just have to go and look, okay? So if the world population wants to have these crimes stopped, we can find out who these people are who are doing this. You know, I mean, your Auntie Marge somewhere in Idaho might not be able to find that out. But yeah, you can do a trip down to NSA and put a gun to somebody's head. I'm not saying you should, but you know, you can put an administrative gun to their head and say, okay, guys, now who has been doing all this? Because this is domestic and international terrorism. It is crimes against humanity. And, oh, by the way, it is your bloody job to protect us from this. So what exactly have you been doing the last 30, 40 years? You know? And I think this is what we all have to focus on right now, you know, because it is so overwhelming, the technology that they, are assaulting us with. None of us individually can fight back.
Well, that's very, very good. I wanted to focus on things we can do. First of all, is being aware of it. If you don't know this is really happening, how are you even going to digest it? So the first step has just got to be exposing it like we're doing right here. And reading the material, becoming educated, okay? Going back to understanding that there's things you can do proactive. Looking about titanium dioxide. Looking, starting to read labels. Looking,
You know, the one thing that people should realize, if you just indulge me for 1 minute, this is like for me, when I was researching this, I should say that 5 years ago, I knew nothing about it, okay? And if for the first time, you know, from 0 to 100, I would have listened to your radio show, I would have been overwhelmed. I would have thought, oh, this can't possibly be true, right? But then what happened over the last 5 years to me is that I went from a really straight-laced, boring academic research career into investigating these crimes, and in the end realizing that I have microchips in myself, and then helping other people, you know, as a physicist, to try to identify them, where they are and what that might be, you know. And through that work, I first of all discovered, oh, hang on a second, I'm a victim. I am right at the heart of this. I started being assaulted with directed energy weapons, and many other things like hacking and bioweapons and stuff I didn't know anything about. But then when I started talking about it, so many people came forward and I offered consulting for a long time. And I can tell you that people whose name you all know are also affected. Most of them are terrified to go public. They are absolutely terrified and they're waiting for other people with less of a reputation, maybe less to lose in their eyes, to go first. Okay. But the truth is what I figured out using statistical analysis and systems analysis is that actually we're all affected. And the only difference is some people know and some people don't. Okay. So judges came forward to me, judges in the US and the UK, that they are implanted. They are being assaulted with directed energy weapons. I've got video evidence of a high profile baroness and judge in the UK being assaulted with a directed energy weapon live on camera. I've spoken to William Binney, the former technical director of NSA. I think, to my knowledge, the highest ranking whistleblower in the US, while he is being assaulted with directed energy weapons. And I managed to prove that he, too, has chips in himself and is being brutally physically tortured with them.
Oh, my goodness. We're out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, take a stand. Understand this is real. Dr. Horton, please stay on the line for just a few minutes. I need to get some correspondence with you going. Thank you so much. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, be well, be safe, but be awake. Be awake. Thanks for listening.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Hartgrove, just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from ThePowerMall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.